This is the Zesty Garden. I'm Brian Earl, and in with me in the studio today is Shane Taylor. He's the horticultural specialist and buyer for Cactus and Tropicals in Salt Lake City. And we're talking about houseplants that are easy to grow and maybe a little bit different as well that you can have in your own home. And the one we're going to talk about today is an orchid. Now, there are plenty of orchids, Shane. What's the one that you want to focus on?
Well, orchids actually do take up one of the largest blooming plant families in the world, specifically the orchid that seems to be a little bit better adapted to life in people's houses is going to be the Phalaenopsis orchid. A lot of people might be familiar with the Phalaenopsis from grocery stores and Home Depots and stuff like that. You'll see them all around, and you see them everywhere simply for the fact that they are very easy to take care of. And if you're going to get into orchids, that's a great one to start with.
Now, another name I've seen for them is the moth orchid.
Moth orchid just refers to the way they get pollinated. Their flowers are actually, they mimic the reproductive organs of certain moths, and they entice the moths in and end up, that's the way they end up becoming pollinated.
And where do they grow in the wild?
The specific origin of most Phalaenopsis is debated, but Central and South America is going to be the location you'll find the original species. Most species of Phalaenopsis that people will end up in their homes with are hybrids. They're cultivated from many different parentages over the years to get the biggest flower, to get the best color, different traits like that.
And there's some really interesting colors and combinations that I've seen coming out in the last couple of years. I mean, usually you started out with white, and then now I'm seeing splotched, and this one is like a bitone.
Yeah, you get stripes, you get spots, you have some that look like Rorschach prints where they look like ink has been splattered all over them. You get beautiful shades of lavender and pink and purple. The only thing that they don't really do is blue. You don't really see a blue. Although if you do see a blue, it's been dyed like a carnation.
Yeah, I did see one of those the other day. I was like, okay, I can tell that something's been added to the soil that's causing it to change color because it just didn't look natural.
Yeah, and they'll inject blue dye into white Phalaenopsis, and they'll end up with a kind of that Windex blue orchid, and that will be a one-time thing. The next time that orchid blooms, it will not be blue. It will be white again.
So why did you choose a Phalaenopsis?
I chose a Phalaenopsis simply for the fact that they can adapt to our drier Utah climate. You don't have to do anything special about the humidity levels in your home in order to get them to rebloom. Their water regimen is very easy. You only have to really check them about once every week to 2 weeks, depending on the lighting and the temperature in the room. So it makes it a very low-maintenance plant. And with their long, long bloom period, which can range anywhere from about 3 months to 6 months to potentially even longer, it really makes them an amazing plant to have in the house.
And as far as where to put them in the house, what do you suggest?
I prefer to keep my Phalaenopsis in an east window where they get a little bit of morning sun. They get probably about an hour of direct during the early morning hours, and then for the rest of the day they're in shade. Somewhere that's going to be even temperature, not too hot, not too cold, not exposed to hot drafts, cold drafts.
So don't put them right above a heater, for instance.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's basically it.
And as far as taking care of them, now I'm only drawing upon my own experience here. And when you've got a Phalaenopsis, how often do you water it? Because it's obvious it's not actually in soil that you would normally think of.
Yeah. Well, they're what's called an epiphyte, which means in nature they grow up in the trees. So they try to simulate that environment by sticking them in various potting mediums that are more porous than soil. So you'll see them in sphagnum moss, you'll see them in bark, you'll see them in pumice. We prefer sphagnum moss at the shop just because it retains water for a little bit longer, and the fails, it just makes them a little easier to care for. water when the potting medium is dry. It's very important to let your Phalaenopsis go dry between waterings and to ensure that the root system itself doesn't ever sit in water for longer than just a few minutes.
And why? What's going to happen?
Root rot is a very real thing, especially with orchids. The number one reason we see people fail with Phalaenopsis is they overwater. They let it sit in water. Those roots will absorb as much water as you can give them, and like many plants, they don't have a ability to stop absorbing water, and they will end up rotting as a result.
So they just keep taking it up, and even though they've had too much, they just keep taking it.
Yep.
Wow. I hadn't thought about that in that way. So most of the time then when a Phalaenopsis doesn't make it in a home, it's probably because it's overwatered.
Most likely. Yeah. Overwatering, again, number one reason. Light and temperature, you know, they're a little tricky to transport in the winter just because it's so cold. Make sure if you buy an orchid in the middle of a cold snap that you protect it on its trip home. Even 15, 20 minutes exposed to colder temperatures will start to damage the leaves.
And what would you consider colder temperatures?
Colder temperatures would be anything below 55 degrees.
Oh, okay. So be even this time of year, like right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Ask for a shopping bag or a plant sleeve to go around it to help protect it from that cold drive. We do see a lot of people that will take them home during the middle of the winter and come back a few days later and the flowers will have dropped off and the leaves will have taken on some black striping. And that is due to cold.
Mm. So how do you know when to move up to a larger size pot?
Generally, Phalaenopsis are slow to get bigger. And you really only want to move them into a larger size pot if the plant itself becomes so unruly and top heavy that it won't support itself in the container it's in, or if the potting medium that it's in is starting to break down. So if you're noticing that the bark is turning into soil, that's a good indication that it's time to transplant or time to move it. If your plant is tipping severely, you don't want it to fall over and break the container it's in, so it's time to move it up. And when you do move it up, you should always just step it up. Just go from a 4 to a 6 or a 6 to an 8. Generally, you'd never see a Phalaenopsis in a pot bigger than an 8-inch diameter pot. Just because the plant itself will always stay fairly compact.
And is that the same for most transplanting of indoor plants? Don't necessarily go to a humongous pot, just the next size up.
That's absolutely correct, yeah. You always want to step things up. You never want to go from a 4-inch to a 10-inch. I made that mistake with the first plant I bought, the first house plant I took home. I took it from a 4-inch pot, and I thought, oh, I'm going to give it plenty of room to grow, because that's what you do with vegetables, that's what you do with herbs. But houseplants are a little different. So I took it home, I transplanted up, and then I was wondering why I was rotting it, why the plant was not doing well. And it was because it had too much soil. The root system didn't have time to fill up that loose soil and start removing the excess water, so it was staying way too wet.
Mm. And with the Phalaenopsis, when you transplant it, you were suggesting, as we were talking before the program, that you like your Phalaenopsis to be in the sphagnum moss. If yours came with bark, do you switch it or do you try to keep it in the same type of medium it came in?
If it has been growing in bark, it's probably best to leave it in bark. They do become accustomed to the potting medium they're in. You can move them from one medium to the other, but it always risks shocking the plant a little bit more than it may be able to handle. So we recommend trying to match that potting medium as best as possible. That way you don't have to change your watering schedule. Nothing is too much of a change for the plant to handle.
And as far as when it's blossoming, I've noticed that you can cut. I mean, you'll just keep having the what do you call these? A branch?
A bloom stock.
Okay, the bloom stock continues to grow out, and then the blossoms one by one eventually begin to drop off. And once they've all dropped off, can you recut at a node and sometimes get another?
Yeah, often
one to come out?
Yeah, absolutely. Phalaenopsis often will rebloom off of the same bloom stock. And you will see little bumps every so often up that bloom stock. And if you're lucky, you'll notice another bloom stock already emerging out of one of those upper nodes, as you call them, and it will start flowering as the first set of flowers finish. And that's one of the ways that Phalaenopsis can bloom longer than 3 months or 6 months, is if they keep producing substocks off of the main stock. They can, I've heard people tell me their Phalaenopsis has bloomed for 18 months, you know, sometimes even 2 years, where it just goes nonstop. It just keeps flowering and flowering, which is wonderful for us. It might not be the best for the plant, because during blooming, the plant is basically dormant. It's putting all its energy into flowers and it's not actively growing. But during that time, if you do have a lot of active bloom, it's a good idea to feed the Phalaenopsis with a fertilizer that has a little bit higher phosphorus in it. So that middle number, when you're looking at those three numbers on the fertilizer packages, something for bloom.
Like twice as much as you would see with the first number, for instance? You don't want a lot of nitrogen?
Yeah, I don't want a lot of nitrogen because, again, the plant is sleeping, and that's what primarily uses the nitrogen, is the leaves themselves. So it's a good idea to just pick a bloom fertilizer. Often they'll be called bloom fertilizer. If it's not specifically intended for orchids, just make sure to dilute it a little bit more than it would recommend for houseplants. Like Miracle-Gro is great. Everybody knows that name. It's fairly strong, though. So if you're going to use Miracle-Gro on your orchids, I'd dilute to half or even a quarter of what it recommends for regular houseplants. And I'll, of course, always follow the directions on packages of fertilizer. It's better to underfeed than over.
And would you do that every time you water it? While it's in blossom stage?
It really depends on the fertilizer itself. And again, that's following the instructions and always read the package. Some things, like we sell a Schultz fertilizer that is mild enough that it can be used every time you water. But then Miracle-Gro usually recommends once every 2 weeks, maybe once a month. So always follow those directions.
Okay. And well, with the Phalaenopsis, you're only watering every couple of weeks at the most anyway.
Yep. So it could be every other watering that you're giving it a dose of fertilizer.
So let's talk about the watering and end from there. How do you water a Phalaenopsis?
The ideal way to water a Phalaenopsis is to allow the water to saturate the root system and then drain thoroughly. You want to make sure to get that potting medium, whether it be bark or sphagnum moss or pumice or whatever, you want to make sure that that's moist by the time you're done watering it and that there's no standing water underneath. So the way I do it is I take mine to the sink and I pour the water through and I let it run through and then I'll put it back in its container when I'm done. And then it usually takes my Phalaenopsis about 2 weeks to become dry enough to water it again. I know a lot of other people that soak their Phalaenopsis. As you were telling me, that's what you do with yours. And that's a good way to do it, as long as you're conscious enough to remember not to leave it sitting in water. That's something that I end up doing. I'd walk away and forget and let it soak for too long.
What I've done here at work, because that's where I have a Phalaenopsis here, is I've stuck it in the sink. So if I do forget, somebody will come and say, hey, your plant's in the sink. So.
That always helps to have somebody else, because that's the only reason I don't soak them is I know I'm just not responsible enough to remember.
You see on the tags that come with some of them, put 3 ice cubes on here per week or something like that. That just always just seems, I mean, these are tropical plants. Why would I want to put an ice cube on a tropical plant?
Yeah, not a good idea. I can see the logic behind it where you're giving it small doses of water. It helps you control the amount of water that you're putting on the plant. But because it is just a few degrees above freezing, it is not going to make the plant very happy. So I just say be careful about the amount of water you're pouring through. If your Phalaenopsis is in a position where you can't drain it, just be very careful. Just small amounts of water poured in intervals where the potting medium can still dry out. But ideally, you always want your Phalaenopsis or any other orchid that you have in a container that drains.
Okay. And you said that you put yours underneath the faucet and then just let the water course through it for like, what, 30 seconds?
Yeah, just like 20 or 30 seconds, just enough to saturate the potting medium. And then I'll let it sit there for another 20 or 30 seconds and drip, and then I'll stick it back in its pot on its tray in my east window.
Do you have to mist them at all?
You can. It will help it a bit if you mist them on occasion. Of course, misting requires you to use distilled water because you don't want them all marked up with hard water. And you have to do it on a very regular basis for it to have any kind of effect, because we have such dry air and such a high evaporation rate here in Utah. If you mist it once a week, it barely is going to register to the plant. But if you're misting it morning and night, it's going to feel that. It's going to notice that, and it will help it to grow a little bit faster. The thing that you'll run into is if you're misting it, you'll notice that the potting medium will remain wet longer. So there is that risk that if you're misting on a regular basis, you could potentially rot your orchid out as well. So just be careful.
Okay. Well, you're listening to The Zesty Garden. Shane Taylor, horticultural specialist and the buyer for Cactus and Tropicals in Salt Lake City, is my guest. Shane will be having you on at least once a month as we go through and talk about great house plants that people should consider having in their home. Thank you for joining me on this edition.
Thanks, Brian.